All right, this is Karen Brewster. Today is October 8th, 2018, and I'm here with Virginia Long at the Portland House in Skagway, Alaska, and this is for the Klondike Gold Rush Historical Park Oral History Project. So thank you, Virginia, for having time today.
Certainly.
And we just finished a walking tour of the building, so I've got lots of questions. But before we do that, I'd like to know a little bit about you before this building and how long you've lived in Skagway.
Short history.
Yeah.
I came here in 1994 from the Midwest, raised a family of five children, put them through college as a single parent, and then I said, goodbye, I'm going where it's peaceful and quiet, and I came up here and have been here ever since.
Well, why did you pick Skagway?
I had a sister and a brother up here that had gift shops, and I was making some gifts for my brother's gift shop. So I came up to see how it was, and we ended up buying land together and staying, because I love it.
And where did you grow up originally?
Illinois. I was born in Illinois, the Quad Cities, or East Moline, and then I raised my family in Illinois, Iowa, Ohio.
Okay. And did you, what kind of an educational background do you have?
Mine was in math.
Oh.
So I had 3 years of college.
In math?
In math, and did a lot of tutoring but never really taught in school because I never finished my last semester. But I raised five children, and they all knew their math. And so I did bookkeeping.
Okay.
And then when I came up here, then my brother ended up going to work at the ferry, and I bought the little gift shop from him, and I ran the gift shop.
And what was that gift shop called?
The Brass Pick, and that now is a historical building with the Park Service, one of the little cribs.
Oh, okay.
So you can see it over there between 5th and 6th, I think, in the alley.
Oh, yeah, that little alley where you have the crib display.
Yes,
yeah.
The one that's called the Brass Pit that used to sit where the big buildings are on Broadway.
Oh.
And for 6 or 7 years, I had a shop from there.
Mm. And what is your brother's name?
Ralph Aiton was his name.
Okay, just so we have the connection.
Yes, yes.
So, when did you acquire this
building
here, the Portland House?
I met my partner here in Skagway, Howard Smith, and I was doing books, and I was helping him with a gas station, and we ended up buying this building in 2001 because the people who owned it had a restaurant in here that was called the Portland House Restaurant, and from Anchorage, and he passed away, and so his wife, who spoke very little English, was trying to run the place and leased it out, but wasn't having very good success. But we had watched over the building for her in the winter time. And so then they put it on the market, too, because she just couldn't make things work. And so she decided to sell it, and she put it on the auction block. So we ended up buying it from her. And with the idea, my partner said, with the idea, oh, yes, we can just demolish the place and sell the land and make a profit. And I thought, I had just gotten on the historic board at that time, and I thought, oh, gosh, that's a historic building. That's kind of, I think we should maybe at least look into maybe restoring it, but he didn't agree, so he didn't say anything. But when I went to the next meeting, there was a paper at the meeting with the request to demolish the building. And I said, you realize I'm going to vote against that. And so that's how we acquired it. And I got the Park Service involved. And so Grant Crosby was my junior project. He was the junior architect in Anchorage. I can't remember. Peterson was the senior architect. And he had been down here several times, too. But they encouraged us to restore the building. So we worked under three different federal grants. And I can't remember starting 2001 and however long it went. And then one state grant also that helped us. It was a little $5,000 or $6,000 one, but that helped us to put that top knot back on there. And so that was really awesome to save a historic building in town or in the state. So with all of those, then after that, we were on our own. But they got it started in most of the structural work and the outside work and the windows and doors outside, but then all on the inside was all our doing.
Mm-hmm. So how did you know to go to the Park Service for assistance?
Well, I was on the historic district, so right. The whole thing with the historic district is you try to save buildings if you can. And I thought the building should at least look into being saved, although you saw the picture of it.
Right.
It was because it was the oldest two-story commercial building in town. It was actually built by Captain Moore himself before the Gold Rush.
Do you know when he built it?
Probably 1896 or 1897. Because, like I said, we have a picture of it completely built, and they're just building the one that the Park Service is working on the corner.
Across the street.
It's going up, but this one's complete.
Okay.
Completed. So we know that, and his house sat out here, and that got moved when they were redoing the streets and that years and years ago.
Well, and that's the house that's now part of the Moore Homestead?
Correct.
On the other end
yes,
of Fifth
correct.
Avenue?
Yes, correct. So this was his business block, and he ran his businesses out of here. So I thought, being as it's the oldest commercial building in town, it should be saved if it could be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
What got you interested in history so much and the importance of saving these kinds of things?
Well, first of all, when I came here in 94, 95, my brother had the brass pick, the little, and then he went to work for the ferry terminal, and he didn't care for having a small tourist shop and dealing with tourists. And I made a lot of things for a shop, so I bought it from him and started. I ran that shop for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into tourists and the history, because that was a historical crib.
Oh, right.
And we had dug out a lot of the history on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was of interest to me. And then I ended up getting on the historic board, because the historic district has all these rules, more rules
right.
than a king. So I didn't think they were always consistent with their rules. So I decided to go on the board to make that point and say, if we do something, then we need to be consistent with everyone and do it for everyone. And that's what got me started. Then I met Carl Gerke. He was on the board, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's the park historian.
Yes.
Right.
So you just kind of, it starts into your blood. And when I finished high school and started college, I either wanted to be a surgeon or a carpenter.
Oh.
I think I ended up the carpenter.
Well, surgery, carpentry, sort of similar.
Correct. So I've always kind of liked that.
Yeah.
But it was a big project, and maybe if looking back at it, I'm not sure we would do it again because it's been 17 years of our life.
Well, I'll get into the details of the building in a second. The Historic District Commission, do you remember what years you were on it?
Well, it would have been 2001 then, and I don't have that in front of me, but I'd say around 2011 then because it was about 10 years.
Do you remember any of the particular issues that were
done at that time?
Yeah, or that were...
For instance, one of the things, and Grant Crosby was down here for that, is when the little brass pick and the little cribs, the other ones weren't historic. The brass pick was the only historic one of the three or four that were along that. Got sold, and the big buildings went up. There was a building right behind it that was called the Ice House, and that became an issue with the Park Service and the people who bought that, who just wanted to destroy that building. They had no interest in it, and the Park Service, who wanted to save it. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that came before us, one of the bigger things that came before us. And it ended up getting saved and moved across the street. So that is the building that's across the street, just behind where the homestead is, then to the west of it, between that and the Kermsey's.
Yeah, there's an old wooden kind of falling down building.
Yeah, that's the ice.
That's the ice house.
And so it did get saved, and that's the Park Service has that, and I don't know what they're ever going to do with it, but that was one of the projects. And then just anybody in town were specifically wanting, we have the wooden boardwalks, no merchandise outside hawking on the streets, so we have all kinds of rules like that, and what can be in the windows and what can't be in windows, so to keep it looking historic and so that tourists enjoy coming and have a pleasant experience here. Mm-hmm. So that was part of the thing.
You said there were some rules that you found inconsistent or frustrating. Do you have some examples?
Yes. For instance, in my shop, my door swung in, and I'd hang a couple merchandise, couple like a sweatshirt or a t-shirt on the door, but maybe the little arm might stick out just past the door frame, and they'd want to come and give you a warning on this. I mean, and other people, you know, not necessarily, but was, and like flower pots sometimes outside. Oh, you know, you can't have plastic, it has to be wood. But then there's other ones. Some people had statues in front of their things, and some were okay and some weren't okay. So it got kind of hairy, because those are things, you know, like somebody saying, okay, we have half off of our stuff, and they have it clear in July,
right.
You know, and trying to make that kind of stuff consistent with everyone, so it helps everybody in town, you know.
Do you think the shop owners felt like the Park Service or the commission were being arbitrary with their decisions and playing favorites?
I think that a lot of people liked it in the fact that, you know, they wanted the district to be uptown and one that tourists could have a good
experience,
yes, when they came, you know, and would talk it up. And others, yes, felt like, okay, you know, you're getting a little picky here, and that doesn't, and so you always have some of that. But the Park Service was on the board, and then it ended up, and I went through several Park Service people that was on the board, because I'm trying to think of my girlfriend then that was on there. And then she ended up moving out. I can't remember her name now. Teresa.
Oh. Thibault.
Yes, yes. So I sat with her also, very wonderful woman. But then the Park Service ended up saying that a Park Service could not sit on the board and be a voting member. So they could just be an advisory. But at the beginning, and for several years,
they were voting.
They were voting. And that, so then it ended up that Carl just kind of came to the meetings and offered advice and so forth to us. But at the time, you know, they were. So they had some input there, and then afterwards it was mostly advisory.
Do you think that with them being voting members, the other businesses felt like the Park Service had too much power and in control too much?
I think not any more than they did afterwards. Okay. So there's some people in town that think that whether they are on the district commission or not, because they own so many of the buildings. Mm-hmm. And so some people see it as a negative and some people see it as positive. So I think it didn't have so much to do with them sitting on the commission. But in actuality, because they are the Park Service, they did not have to follow the rules if they did not want to. They did 99% of the time, right. But they actually do have that option.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though all of their properties are within the district?
Yeah. They're federal. And they...
Oh, that seems... I think if I were a business owner, I might be a little perturbed.
But I don't think it bothered people too much because they usually had more stringent rules than what we did.
Right.
So that solved that problem.
Right. So there wasn't an instance where the board said do this and the Park Service said no.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you were on it.
Yeah. Not that I know of. There wasn't anything big, but there was. There was that where, you know, it was.
So who decided that the Park Service should change from voting to advisory?
I think it was the Park Service themselves. I think that decided that. I'm not sure, but that's how it came down, that they would no longer be one of the actual voting members at the table, but we'd use one for advisory because they have so much of the history in that.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, there's different historical buildings. That's where when they do a really deep restoration, or not really restoration, just a remodel, that's where a lot of the problems came in, because people would want it to be this way. And we'd say, no, that's a historic building. You got to keep the fronts and the sides, you know, the outer historical, because that's what makes the town. So there would be some frustration there.
So some of the buildings then on Broadway, they're the old original buildings that have been restored.
Yes.
But then there's others that...
You wouldn't really call a restoration, because when you call a restoration, is even more stringent than a rehabilitation.
Okay.
So they actually call this one a rehabilitation.
Okay.
Because a restoration is even deeper.
Right.
And in its rules and regulations.
Right. And that's what the Park Service does a lot, where it's restoration.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
But then some of the buildings on Broadway then are new, more recently built.
Oh, yes. Exactly. All of the ones that went where the little shops were on Broadway there, those great big ones, those are all brand new buildings. But they have to put their plans before the commission. And we're not so interested in the inside, only the outside, what appears to the person. So their fronts have to meet historical guidelines for the period back in the 1900s.
Right.
So
the facade, the front.
Yes, the facades and the false fronts have to be of that period.
Well,
and so some things are denied and some things are, and also the other thing is signs. So signs were very stringent. Well, they did not use that kind of lettering on signs, or there was no sign that large or made from that material. So signs were a big because everybody wanted signs and everybody had different ideas.
Right.
And then how they were fastened on the buildings. So there was a lot. Signs took up a lot of because people would have a building, new person would take over the building, so then they wanted a different sign. And even down then to paint on buildings
right.
and that, these things all had to be approved
right.
through permits.
Yeah, well, in the old days, a lot of buildings had the thing written right on the building, the hardware store or
yes,
something.
Yes, yes, they did. And so if you could show historic...
Like an old photo?
Photo of that period. So you'll notice there's a couple of buildings in town that have the signage and the words printed right on the building, just plastered on the building, because they went through historic pictures and found mm-hmm. some. Then they bring them, and that's a good way that you could probably get it approved
uh-huh.
then, because you've got proof. And Carl Gerke would help a lot, or
right.
because he has all that.
All those photos.
So he was very helpful to everyone in town, as much as he could be with the history.
Yeah. Well, and you said there's, you know, rules about what you can hang in the windows and,
yes.
you know.
What you can for signs, whether they're fastened to the window or they're on the outside or the inside, what lettering it is,
uh-huh.
what style, because all of that falls under the purview.
Yeah, but, you know, now walking around this last week, I know it's a lot of, you know, because it was end of season. No, but end of season, going out of business, you know,
mm-hmm.
end of season sale, that there's, you know, what look like modern signs hanging in the windows.
Yes, if they're not fastened to the window, maybe just hanging back. There's really specific rules.
Yeah, or some of those jewelry stores that have, you know, a picture of a beautiful woman with her jewelry. That doesn't seem historic, but...
No, but you'd be surprised what some of those old pictures look like, you know.
Yes.
But, but if it's fastened to the window, that's different than,
okay.
you know, inside where you can look through the window.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two different things. So there's some specific rules. I've been away now for quite a while because it's been about 7 years.
Right. So is there anything... While you were on that commission that you are particularly proud of, that you were involved with, that you made happen?
Well, it was really helpful for my own building here because I learned all the code. I knew the code backwards and forwards, so I didn't have to try to get a permit for something and say, oh, no, that's not going to fly, because I knew so much of it. So it was very helpful just working with this building and having my own store for
mm-hmm.
For a while, not too long after I was on the commission, just a little while. But
you said you made things for the store.
Yes.
What did you make?
I made like certain like stuffed animals and like hot pads, but I'd have Alaska themes on
mm-hmm.
it, you know, like whales or otters, or did a lot of embroidery and cross stitch
mm-hmm.
and homemade things
yeah.
that I made.
Neat. So why did you decide to go off of the commission?
After 10 years, I was kind of tired of doing it. It was a long time being on the commission, and I just said I need a rest. I was getting old. And trying to slow down my life somewhat. But again, then I'm, you know, trying to finish this building.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this building because it's an amazing project and accomplishment.
Thank you.
So tell me what it looked like in 2001 when you bought it.
You saw that one picture.
Yes. Yeah,
so that would be be the closest. So the top knot was off of it. The any of the elaborate trim on the windows and so forth were off, and it was covered with, they call those asphalt tiles,
uh-huh.
didn't they? Yes, that were rectangular tiles that was put all over
The outside
wood, yes, was just nailed onto it. And that was something that a lot of the buildings did at that point. And in fact, the Ed Fairbanks, that owns Fairway Market, said, oh, I did that. That was my first job after I got out of college, putting that asphalt tile on that building. I said, well, did you get paid per nail? Because
There was a lot of nails.
And
what color was it? Like,
it was kind of a grayish.
Yeah. Grayish. So about what year would that have been? When
I think, I don't know. I 50s? Might have been in the 50s, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I could look that all up for you, but
It's good to hear what your perspective on buying it and what it was like. And so,
because it used to be Captain Moore's, and then a lot of different things were in the building at different times. There was a bank in the building at one time. There was a, during the time when he had it, he had like merchandise, not merchandise, but like...
Like a general
grocery,
store?
Yeah. Groceries and that, probably things that he used for his own business and so forth. I don't know if he sold. There was a dentist at one time upstairs because you could see a sign from the window. So there were all those things, but then many, many years then after, I would say, the 1914 or whatever, it became a hotel.
It was actually officially the Portland House Hotel?
It was Portland House, always called the Portland House, clear back in the early 1900s.
Okay.
I don't know exactly when that name, but... So people have lived in it, and then later on, the people that bought it rented. It was rentals.
Okay.
So I have some people in town. For instance, the lady that's my dear friend, B. Lingle, whose husband, who's passed away, Benny, they own the hardware store, and she's 90-some years old now, a dear friend of mine. She lived in four different places in this building at one time in her life.
Wow.
Yes. So, and then like Jim Hamilton was here. These are people from the town. Right. And he said, oh, yes, I lived all along the west side there. That was one big long apartment. And there was like fuel tanks that were on legs, you know.
Oh,
that's how we got our heat. But that was my apartment. And then other people would say, so I think half the town lived in this building at one time or another. And I said, right there is a reason that it should be saved.
Yeah.
It has so much history to the town.
Well, and on that sign on the you have on the front window, there's a photograph of it with this big group of people standing on the street.
Standing in front, yes, the historical picture. I think that was a military picture, one of them was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember what it said, but... So having all those photographs of the building helped you?
Yes, definitely. And Carl Gerke, again, and the Park Service did all they could to find me pictures. And then one of the dear friends in town, Mulville.
Carl Mulville.
Yeah, Carl Mulville found the picture after we had done the front and even earlier one that actually had a diagonal on the corner there. Which no one else had before, and he brought it to us. Oh, we might have done that, you know, because that was right back in that period. But the Park Service liked the one that we did, but that was interesting. So, yes, you worked off of photos, and then you worked off of taking all that asphalt tiles down very carefully. This is why we've worked on it for 17 years, because we didn't just rip it off, and we were taking it off to preserve the boards underneath it, if at all possible. And that is why we've got enough boards on the outside that we could restore and use those 100-year-old boards, because you're never going to get those again. So that took a lot of time. Then we would feed those. Some of them are 17, 18, 20 feet long. We'd feed them in the windows, like upstairs, and we stored them before we, you know, were doing anything on the inside. And so some years you thought you would never get finished.
Yeah.
Because it was mostly Howard and I doing the work, and Don Corwin helped us with windows and doors.
And he was with the Park Service at the time.
Yes, yes. He wasn't actually working. He was working on his own, I think.
But he'd gotten training for...
Yeah, that, yes, exactly.
As a carpenter.
Yes, definitely. He was
how to
talented.
Build windows and doors in the historic style.
Exactly.
So tell me about when we were walking around, you mentioned the green boards on the outside versus the pink boards.
Yes, yes. So we have green and red and blue, the colors. And so I did that because all of the green outside and that profile was unique. Were boards that we took off the building and some also of the wainscoting that was under the windows mm-hmm. in diagonals. All of the 100-year-old boards that we paint, we restored. And to restore those boards, then you took them and you had to first strip the lead paint off. And so you wore a mask and you saved all the lead paint, put it in cans, and then took it to the hazardous waste once a year. You didn't throw it in the trash. And then after you got that all off, then you would strip down the wood even further with stripper. And then you started sanding, and then you started repairing any cracks, gluing cracks, filling nail holes, sanding that all down. And finally, then you get to the point where you can put primer on, and you put primer on the back and the front, and then you give it two coats of paint. And we've done that. Some of those are 2002, and this is 2018, mm-hmm. and that's not been redone.
They look brand new.
Exactly. Now, just this last year, we did a little bit of touch-up on the west side, a little bit on the north side. But the rest of that is like 10, 15 years old.
Yeah.
And you see, there's other buildings in town that have been painted three times now since we painted ours.
Well, I just can't believe that 100-year-old wood is still usable.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And some of it isn't, but some of it was also a challenge because if I was getting down low on the pile and I needed smaller boards, I would reconstitute it with some wood stuff. But most of the time, maybe part of it was that the asphalt tile did protect it in a way. Mm-hmm. It made holes in it, but it might have protected it somewhat. What? Plus, wood back then is not like wood you buy today. Truly, we know this because when I ordered all the cedar in the same profile, that's all the red on the building because we used all that we could, you know, of the 100-year-old, then we had to go selected cedar because of its durability and had it fabricated in that exact profile down in Seattle and had it shipped up. And we ended up shipping a whole batch of it all back because it was chattered on the edges and had to go all back and be resent, you know. So, so yes, I almost rather to work with the old than the new, except for having to remove all of the lead paint.
Yeah, and that original wood, do you know what kind it is?
Howard can tell you. I think it's fir or spruce, one of the two.
Because I was wondering if it was locally
harvested. I'm sure it probably it was back then.
Yeah.
And you can tell then on the west side of the building, or the east side, I mean, the 1x12s that are 17 foot long, tall, one piece, you can see the big saw marks of the huge saws that they use.
Yeah.
So that was done right here.
Right, yeah, so that the east side of the building?
Yes, you get my direction.
Right, so the west side and the north side are the decorated
side. Yes, yes.
And the east side is just plain.
Right, right.
17-foot boards standing up.
Yes, yes.
And those that are the original.
Yes, and we had pictures of just going around the corner, and there was a building close by, but there was a little walkway. And you could tell it was just the
unfinished.
Yeah, it wasn't the elaborate that you saw on the facades of the
The
ones that paced the street. So they were interested because they went up fast.
Yeah.
And they wanted to sell or use the building. So that's what showed to the public.
Yeah.
That's what you did. And the rest, didn't care about.
Right. Those boards on that east side are pretty amazing boards.
They are. And some of them then were also because, like I said, it was three quadrants.
The building
Yes, and so some of those were on the outside, but when they brought that fourth quadrant in and pushed, then these were stuck in the wall.
Oh, they just added on.
Yeah, the they just added on. So we fished those out of the wall, and some of those went from the second floor down through the one and into the crawl space.
Wow.
And we wiggled those out and saved them so we would have enough come 10 years later when we wanted to do this project.
Right.
So a lot of it, we bought a container, a 40-foot container, and had all this stacked in there. So it's no little project.
No, it is not.
It is a, and that's what I said. I think if we look back on it, we might say, oh, we'll let someone else do that one next time.
And,
you know, we're proud of what we've done, but it's taken a lot of our... That's a lot of our life.
Yeah, and you were showing me before all the old wainscoting. You've made doors and cabinets.
And all wainscoting, yes. Because there was wainscoting in the building. And again, we measured it to get the right height that they had because the ceilings are like 10 and a half feet on the first floor. So you get that good proportion in that. But then all of the ceilings on the first floor were wainscoting.
Like tongue and groove?
Yeah.
Or just the wainscoting?
The wainscoting, that's the exact boards that, they're tongue, they fit like tongue and groove.
Right.
Yeah. And so some of them would be 20 feet long. We've got some that were 25 feet long.
Wow.
But we try to take them off, save as much, but those were all covered then with wallpapers. So again, if I could live another 20 years, I have a collection of wallpapers that the Park Service helped me with a little tiny grant to label where they came off in the building so that I could go. But they said that could possibly be one of the largest collections of wallpaper in Southeast Alaska. So I've got tons of that around.
So if at some point you wanted to go and put wallpapering in all these rooms, you could copy
some of those.
Oh, cool. Yeah, because right now you've just painted, you have the wainscoting and then you've painted.
Right, exactly. And some of them were, old, like pineapple print.
Yeah.
And yes. But all the rooms had different, and sometimes there was three and four layers, of course. So to get down to the all those holes you see in the wainscoting and that, a lot of those are from wallpaper tacks.
Oh, so it was wallpapered over the wainscoting?
Oh, yes. A lot of the wood had, all the ceilings were wallpapered over. Oh. And like going up the stairs, then there was, there was a lot of wallpaper on a lot of the wainscoting because they just covered things up. So you found things buried in the wall. And we got a lot of those photos, too. And someday I need to try to make photo albums of all that. But I probably have 2,000, 3,000 pictures of the building in progress.
Yeah, so you took pictures all along the way.
Yes,
that's great.
Because we'd open a wall, and go, oh my goodness, there was a fire here at one time because there'd be some charred 2x4s. and the 2x4s that you took out of the, that were there, the few that you did find, not on the outside, were actual 2x4s.
Which they don't make anymore. No, they call them 2x4s.
Exactly,
but we know.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, you were talking about the outside of the structure that an engineer said it doesn't make sense that this building is standing.
Correct. But it is, so it deserves to be preserved.
Yeah. So how is it that they built it that's different?
Well, they took the 1x12s and they doubled them, so they're, I guess, 17 feet. And I don't know, I guess they had people standing out there and holding them up, and they would put a 2x4 across so that they could set the second floor on those.
Okay.
So there was the 2x4 that would hold those together, but there weren't really studs in the walls. The outside walls were only 1x12s.
Wow. So double. Yeah, no framing, really.
No framing.
Even on the west and north sides, it was all that same double wood.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, then there was the siding, you know, mm-hmm. so on those. So there wasn't all that. There wasn't all that 1x12 on those.
Oh.
There was the other, but oh, it's been a long time, so I can't remember. But I just remember being so shocked because we're trying to find 2x4s, and they weren't there.
And then the, how the second floor stayed on. I mean, they had beams.
You wondered. Well, yeah, they just hung them on the, or they laid on that 2x4, the joists.
Okay.
The joists, and then the ceiling came down, or the roof came down, and then it just sat on a 2x4 ledge.
At the top of those 1x12s.
Yeah, so that was not acceptable.
No. Yeah, so that's what did you have to do to meet, you had to meet current code.
Yes, there's a few things that they say, because this is an historic building, that they allow you very few things, but it might be, you know, that the wood that your steps are made out of, or maybe they could be a little bit narrower than the what they would like it now. But most of it, she had to meet the code. So to do that, you just got yourself a code book and you used it for your bedtime story for several years. And I could quote you about anything out of it. So, because you also have to go not only the city, but you have to have state permits.
Right. Well, and I would think, you know, a historic building, it would be grandfathered that you could just keep it the way it was. I didn't realize you had to.
Some things you can if you don't do any remodeling. Once you start to redo it, then you have to meet the code.
Okay.
If you just bought the building and you didn't, then there's more leniency. You know, you didn't have to say, okay, no, you bought this building, so now you have to change all this. But again, that didn't hold true for everything, because another thing that we put in the historic district is sprinklers, required sprinklers in the whole historic district.
Right.
The people outside the historic district know. So your neighbor right there across the street doesn't have to have one, but if you're in the historic district, you did. And they did offer grants, mm-hmm. which they helped pay for a percentage, then the next year a lesser percentage, encouraging people to have them. So people were getting them, but then some of the early sprinkler systems that went in were done with shabby material.
And
Chinese pipes that rusted. I'm sorry, but they did say made in China. But so it ended up, they kind of had another round of to update a lot of the sprinkler system.
So did the historic district, or even all of Skagway, Did it ever burn? Because it's all so close together.
No.
And its whole history, there's
exactly. They've never had, I think they might have had a couple burns.
Right.
But not any big, huge. No, they were fortunate in that way that they didn't, and they were trying to keep it that way, you know.
And so here on the corner of 5th and State, you are in the historic district.
Yes, correct. This is right the very edge, well, that across, because this is where Moore's property was when he first built and his cabin sat out there.
So if this building had been another block away.
Oh, yes. Yes. Correct.
Totally different.
And across the street to the, on the west, across State Street, the Park Service is restoring the old YMCA. Just to the south of it is, used to be an old cafe, corner cafe, and now it's Happy Endings. That's outside the historic district. Okay. They don't have to follow the same rules that we do.
Okay. So I was thinking about some of those code things. So the sprinklers, something about lighting you told me before.
Yes. And now some of that code is just code that any new building would have to have. And some, it's not just that it's for the historic district.
Right.
If you were putting in a new building, you would have to. But there's code with the size of apartments, the amount of light that enters each apartment. There's minimums for this type of, of things.
And you had a creative solution for the light. What's that?
Yes. So we used the solar lights from
like
the...
Skylight.
Yes. That solar tubing that came down through the rooftop.
Right.
And through our cricket, so for inside bathrooms that didn't have any windows, or one apartment that has the kitchen and living room all in one long section, 25 foot long, it only had one window in it. So we have a solar tube coming through on that, and we also put transoms, glass transoms in the windows leading out
of the
rooms, because that gave more light. So then that would qualify for enough light.
Mm-hmm. And then you said the staircase, you were able to keep it that width.
Yes, we were. We just couldn't make it any narrower, but then we had to cut back the overhang because it wasn't quite...
tall enough?
Yeah, headroom enough, because back then people weren't as tall, I guess. And so we did have to do that.
Right.
Which is, so there's a lot of those little things like that.
Right. And then you said that other apartment, which has the outside entrance on the east side.
Yes.
Because of, you could only have so many people.
Correct. We were going to, the original building, or when we bought it, had a staircase that went down and a hallway. So there were two entrance exits.
Okay.
Okay, but it had the long hallway. So we didn't really want to have the long hallway because we wanted to put that room into the apartments. Because when we bought it, there were about 9 rooms up there, and they just rented rooms with a shared bath, a bathroom, you know, 2 or 3 bathrooms, and that, like 9 rooms. And we ended up with 4 apartments up there. And their own bathrooms and that. But we are all having them come off of a central hallway and one steps. But there was a code that said for a single exit entrance, even though we have sprinklers and so forth, you could only have so many people. And so we couldn't have the 4 apartments coming off that one. So we put a stair... an exit on the other side of the building and have one apartment on there, a little bit larger apartment that way, and then 3 coming off the other way. So again, it was a choice. You could have had a hallway.
Right.
But these are all things you got to get decided before you start building, and you have to rip it out and start over again.
And did you guys... you and Howard do all this design?
First of all, the Park Service, because Grant Crosby was our project manager, did so much help with, and then Carl Gerke from the Park Service, they did so much help with what was required and what wasn't required. Mm-hmm. And
Did Grant?
But they didn't do the design work. I hired an architect okay. from Ketchikan.
Okay.
Good grief, I can't think of her.
That's okay.
And she was awesome, just awesome. She came up and spent some time here, and she did all of the outside structural work and all to meet code and everything. And she knew about historic buildings, so the Park Service hooked me up with her.
And she helped with the floor plan.
No. She actually didn't. She did a floor plan, but I wanted something really unique. And so I spent about 2 years designing the whole upstairs myself.
Okay. Yeah, and then downstairs you have two sort of storefront areas.
Yes. And we just started. We have four quadrants, so the front two quadrants are not finished yet.
Right.
But we finished the back two, and the one quadrant on the southeast is... has a laundry for all the apartments upstairs that can use it, an ADA bathroom, what we called a break room kitchen if we ever did open up for commercial rentals, that would be a bathroom and a break room that everyone could use, and a little office in the back for us. And then the southwest quadrant could be a commercial rental or an apartment.
Right. And then that hallway with the pretty floor decorating, you designed that?
Yeah, so we put in oak flooring upstairs because we didn't want to work with carpeting. There was carpeting up there. There was old linoleums up there.
The stairs, you can still see where they have that carpet runner, like the old
exactly.
style.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
And there was, my teeth are broken.
So that flooring in all the apartments
is all oak. We went with oak because we thought that would be more durable. Because there was flooring, tongue and groove boards, kind of out there.
Right.
Down, a couple of the apartments had the 1x12s underneath that. Some just had that stretched over those joys that were 2 feet apart.
Wow.
So it wasn't, so something had to be done.
So it kind of...
Yeah, so you couldn't...
It kind of moved with...
Yeah, you know. And so when you got down, so then we ended up, to make it meet code and be sturdy, we put all tongue and groove plywood.
And so you had to put new flooring.
So then we had to do something above the plywood.
Yeah.
And, so we chose to use oak.
You didn't recycle the old 100-year wood for the floor?
No, there was some of it up there, but it was in such poor... It was in pretty poor condition. And we recycled what we could where we lifted it, and that's what's running between these two buildings.
Oh,
that's 100-year-old there. And we also used it to patch the floors down on the first floor.
Okay.
So that one... apartment, or the southwest, that's all the original 100-year-old flooring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in that, out in the hallway with that bear claw quilt design.
Yes, and I used the leftover scraps from the flooring, oak flooring we put upstairs, which were just kind of small pieces, but you have lots of them left over. So I made a quilt pattern so that we could use all the little pieces.
Yeah.
And I put bear paws then design in the wood pieces going down the hallway.
It's very pretty. And you were showing me all the cabinets and the counters and everything that you've recycled.
Are all from the wood that came out of the building. And that is the whole reason that the building has taken 17 years. Because almost, we could not duplicate this building because there's so much of the wood that can't even be replaced because we've used almost all of it.
Right.
But the hard part also is if you look at all, like this is all the wainscoting that's natural. Upstairs in the apartments, there it's painted.
Okay.
Because we use the lower quality ones where, you know, we couldn't get as nice a looking boards. Then we worked those down and sanded them and painted them.
But you also used some of the old wainscoting in cabinets.
Yes. So all of it we used for cabinets and any board that we found. You have to store it. So that's so much. We had that front half was, there was wainscoting stacked up, you know, 5 deep and up, you know, 6 feet high and then on shelves. And you got to store it till you have time to use it. So that's a lot of your problem. You're working along, you know, with your...
At least you weren't trying to live in the building.
No, that's true. That's true. We didn't have to do that.
Some people do that, which is even
better. Oh, my goodness.
Your front workroom and then Howard's shop
Yes.
are filled with piles of
And we
of
wished
wood.
We would have built the shop earlier. Because the shop was an old crib, kind of like fastened on there.
Right.
And it was in horrible condition. You couldn't even store anything much in it because it was very moldy.
Yeah.
And, you know, just really, really old. So when we think about it now, we should have probably torn that down and built the shop building earlier because we'd have had more space to work.
Because otherwise you have to do everything inside.
Exactly. We were working inside. But the first floor is the original flooring. So even on that front half, we repaired all that flooring. And... So that'll all be just like the southwest quadrant. Will be all refinished and
nice,
like the hardware store. That's all the that's all the 100-year-old. So wherever we could, we saved.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful using that old wood in the new cabinets, and then the countertop down here in this break room kitchen. You told me was
well the building was used as a restaurant for several years called the Portland House, and it was a pizza. They had Italian food and pizza, and they had the great big old pizza ovens with the great big stones in it. So when we took those down, because they had the furnace, an old, old furnace that was wood and oil, a heavy, heavy thing, and then all the pizza ovens, actually, this quadrant was sinking down into the basement. And so it would have gone down about 8 inches. So Grant Crosby and Howard and everybody had to move all that stuff out of there just to take some weight off, because the also the west wall or the east wall was swinging in the wind because it had rotted.
Along the ground.
And so when the wind, so we did have like a earthquake. And people said, did you feel the earthquake? But we didn't, because the wind just kind of went through our building. So we never felt it.
Because you were used to the...
Yeah, there were breezes in our building all the time.
So did that mean you had...
So we had to prop the whole side of that building up. And we had to also push it in when they... did do it, but we had bought great big...
like scaffolding?
Yeah, like that, metal, like jacks.
Oh, jacks, yeah.
Yeah, floor jacks, and built it all to hold it up till we could work on that side.
So did you have to end up raising the whole floor of any part of the building?
Yeah, so this side of the floor, this quadrant of the floor, which is that... fourth quadrant that was added in here.
Okay.
It was the one that sank down. This floor had to be replaced.
Okay.
The other three quadrants of the original building is still the original floor.
Now, so you didn't have to raise the whole thing up on a new cement foundation?
No, we put we did do the whole foundation, but we did it in treated wood.
Oh, okay. Treated lumber, yeah.
Yeah, treated lumber.
Yeah. Yeah, and you said that this other quadrant they built on, the roof lines don't match.
Correct, because it was, they, back then it was kind of a time when there wasn't a whole lot happening in Skagway, and it was, the population was really getting skinny, and no longer was 10 and 20,000 people from the gold rush. There were, you know, 700 people. And so they scavenged anything they could to put things together. They were very resourceful. Many times you'd open a wall and the boards that they had put in the wall said, oh, White Pass Yukon Route. So they were things from the railroad that they had scavenged and put in the walls. So there was a lot of that going on. So, you know, they saved what they could. They were very resourceful.
Do you know what years these other quadrants were added on?
I do, if I went back and looked in the... I can't remember. But I think I want to say back in the 30s. Okay. Maybe this one quadrant was added. But it did have to be rebuilt and a floor put on it. But the old pizza ovens, we were talking about that. So I saved the stones out of those. So when I built the break room galley kitchen, which is long, I used two big pizza stones for the countertops.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the triple sink that came out of the restaurant, I used that on the other side.
And then upstairs in one of the apartments, besides one of the cabinets, it was old bed rails?
Oh, yes, that was in the bathroom. Right. So I took two cabinets that I bought that had some metal on them, and then I used bed rails to join them together to make it look at one unit before I put the sink top on it. Right. And then made shelves underneath.
Right, and then the other one, it was shelving made out of all the old wainscoting. And
yeah, one of them we saved, or we got a company here in town that was taking out their jewelry cabinets and taking them to the dump. We salvaged the, because it was beautiful wood.
Right.
And we salvaged the wood and then made the counters for the bathrooms out of that.
And then that one shelf you showed me, it still has the square nails.
Yes, that was some of the wood that we have. We have several, and in fact, some of the bigger square nails that we found in the building I saved, and then I made coat racks, then put those in to hang the coats and the hats on. So there's one in Howard's shop.
Well, you're very creative and resourceful.
Yes, I don't like to throw anything out because it has a use.
Yeah.
And so much of that is not only useful, but it's very durable. It actually lasts longer than some of the new stuff you can buy. So the problem with doing that is it takes time to save it and room to save it.
Right.
You can't just say, well, I don't have time, so you take this to the dump, and then 2 years later you say, oh, I wish I had that. So it takes time, and it takes space, and that's why we have years in our building.
Well, and how did you know how to do all this stuff?
I learned a lot along the way, but I grew up as one of seven children, and we mostly did all of our own work because we lived on a farm and did a lot of our own building. And then my partner is a fantastic builder.
Yeah.
So he does a lot of the building, where I did a lot of the refinishing, and all the painting was my part of the deal. And I'm a saver. So I did the restoration on all the wood and the painting, and he builds.
Well, and then you mentioned the tile in that one bathroom upstairs.
Yes, that came actually out of the restaurant again. It was all the tile behind the stove in the kitchen of the pizza station. So all the white tile that was behind there, we chipped off the 12-inch squares. We took them off the wall and then had to work a lot to get the grease off the front and the drywall glued on the back off. But then we ended up using that all for the tubs around in the one bathroom. But it looks nice.
It looks
brand new. But
yeah,
it also takes a really lot of time.
Yeah. And then here, down here in this room, the sliding doors.
Yes, the pocket doors.
Yeah.
We decided I wanted to have a set of pocket doors because I grew up in a house that had pocket doors that was built on the turn of the century. And I've always loved them. So we had a space where we could have pocket doors. And they're so nice because they don't swing out into your room.
Right.
But Howard had found a couple pieces of wood that had...
those holes in them.
Yes, like natural holes in them, long holes in them that kind of matched. And so he used those as the panels in a couple of the door things, and we used those for our handles on the door.
Now, is the wood that's in those doors is from the building?
Yes, that was also from the building. Wow. All of the wood here came out of the building, well, someplace or other.
Wow, and then you said the... paneling around that door and the cabinets.
Yes, we used the back of the wainscoting because we didn't want the little bumps. See, you know how. So we turned it flat and cut those off. Uh-huh. We wanted you to see, if you notice, see all of the saw marks?
Yeah.
That's all saw marks because their saws weren't sharp. They didn't gear. They just got the boards made and got them up and used them.
Yeah, it is, and they have kind of a brownish.
Yeah, they do, we wanted to show that. Look at all that, you know, it almost looks like a design, but that's all from the saw blades.
Neat. And then you told me why you built them all the way up to the ceiling.
Yes, because if you don't, then it's just a ledge for dirt and grease and grime to settle in, and then you got to get up there and clean it all the time in kitchens and in apartments. So I always take them all the way to the ceiling because then you've got more storage room. And there's pipes back in there also that it covers from the sprinkler system and so forth. And then you don't have to do that cleaning.
There you go. And I just looking at them, I noticed that the poles on the door are offset.
Yes, just for a different look.
Oh, okay.
Do that. And those handles... just came from a shop, but those are handmade by someone. My girlfriend had a shop here in town, and she sold those, but those are bear paw and moose paws.
Oh, okay.
All hand-fashioned.
Oh, cool.
Handles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat. Well, I say you definitely have the eye.
I like that part, yes.
You know, the creative eye. And I was wondering, where does that come from? I mean, it's not like you got trained in interior decorating.
No, I didn't get trained. I just... like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just I like unusual, you know. I think if you walk into a room, you can have a beautiful room, but you need one or two focal points that draws your eye to that focal point, and you say, oh, this is awesome. People will come into the building and they will say, oh my God, I just love this, but they don't know why they love it necessarily. But it's all those little details. Little details make it look so different. And the other thing is, people will walk in and everybody sees something different. Somebody will come in and they'll say, oh my gosh, I really like those cupboards or the wood on the side. Mm-hmm. Or someone will come in, oh, I like the glass in the cupboards up above in the galley kitchen. Or, oh, I like the pizza stones for cabinets. Everybody sees something different.
Yeah. And like that kitchen upstairs, I said that the angles and it's sort of like low ceiling, I thought it reminded me of a ship.
Yeah, the ship galley, yes.
And you said that somebody else...
said it looked like a church. That reminded them of a church. Right. And they said, oh my goodness, you should call a magazine and have them put the pictures in because it's so awesome.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it kind of all worthwhile. Yeah. And people see different things.
Yeah. And then that one countertop kind of came to a point. And then the other apartment, you had the part of the countertop that folds down.
Yeah, fold down and then flip up when you wanted more counter space.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and then the other one, yes, we had the square nails. We left it in the wood so you could see that there...
And then the efficiency, you have that awesome Murphy bed.
Oh, yes. Then we designed that Murphy bed. And that was my... construction fellow helped me find somebody that could help design that because I didn't have room for it to be a one bedroom, but we did have this one space, but it was just tiny bit smaller than a full size bed, so I had to make a custom bed mattress afterwards. Oh. But we designed it all so that it looked like a cupboard with a desk out front.
Right. Yeah, and then when you folded it down, the desk just stays there, but
exactly.
Now it's on the ground.
You don't have to remove anything off the desk.
Yeah, it was very cool.
So that's nice, yes.
And then the bathtub in that apartment, too.
Yes, there were two bathtubs that came out of this building, we found out later, because the people who bought it in the 90s to make it the Portland House restaurant and pizza place were from Anchorage. They took these bathtubs out, and they actually hauled them to Anchorage, and they were in a garage there. Right. They were going, I don't know, use them someplace or sell them or whatever. But they ended up never doing it. And when we started working on the building in the 2000s, the Park Service found out that they were there. And so they shipped one of the bathtubs to me as a present.
Nice, but it doesn't have the feet.
But it didn't have, yes, it only had two of the feet, unfortunately, which doesn't help balance. So.
No.
What do we call those, the tubs?
So you built it on...
So I made cradles, yeah, for them to sit on, wooden cradles for them to sit on, because I've seen it in, you know, newer things. So then we set it on that, which actually works a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then you put in a shower head that looks old-fashioned.
Yes, everything we did it all good. With copper tubing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we designed that with copper tubing.
So it all looks authentic.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So I see you and Howard did a lot of this, but it sounds like you hired some people to help
Yeah,
you.
For the inside. For the outside, mostly Howard and I did it, except we had a couple of construction people who had to put this floor back together and build this bottom here. We had a construction company that put the foundation back mm-hmm. in early on. And then Don Corwin helped us with the windows and the doors,
right.
Because he had all that knowledge and did a wonderful job and taught me a lot about doing that, so I learned a lot from him,
right.
And about refinishing
wood. Right,
and
the
so
windows,
far.
You used the same frames, but
yes,
you...
yes, we used the same, and we did put in the original single pane windows, but then upstairs I decided it's the original 100-year-old windows and window frames, so we took all the putty off. And you have to try to take the putty off without cracking the glass. And 90% of the time you do, but you have to be careful because those little metal points, if you heat that up too much, that just cracks. And then I learned how to putty glass back in, which I don't like to do. It takes me forever, and some people can do it really great. But, those are all the original windows upstairs. Some of the ones downstairs in the front had to be built from photos.
But the glass is now all double pane?
Yeah, but we did put in double pane upstairs. We've still got the glass. We could put it back the other way, but because we were afraid that it wouldn't be warm enough for apartments for the winter time.
Yeah.
And our other choice is we could have made storm windows. So you have that option. So both of them are not exactly historic. And so, you know, that's where it's the difference between a restoration and a rehabilitation.
Well, in storm windows, you have to take on and off.
Exactly. On second floor.
Yeah.
And we were getting older.
Right. And you said you put in floor heating.
Yes, we put in floor heating. We went with that. Off of a boiler, and well, we didn't know if that was going to work, but we've been so pleased with it. It's been awesome because we don't have all the radiators eating into the 100-year-old wood,
right?
And hard to clean, and always dusty and get dirty and greasy and cut your hands up. I've cleaned enough of those in apartments, and so. The floors are nice and toasty warm.
And the electricity bill would be huge.
Yes, electricity is expensive here in town. So it's worked out really well because even in the winter, the apartments stay toasty warm, mm-hmm. and everybody's got their own thermostat, so it's worked really well.
You're using fuel oil, diesel oil?
Yeah, fuel oil, okay. Yeah, in the boiler for the hot water and mm-hmm. the in-floor heating.
Right.
And then we finally just, in the last several years, got the in-floor heating on the first floor, which was a lot of a challenge, too, because you're under three-quarters of the building that it's 100 years old.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff they use to put the building up is not things that you went to a store and bought everything that matched.
Right.
It's just hodgepodged in there and set on stones and another old piece of two stones together. And working around that was quite a challenge.
Well, I'm surprised you could get in-floor heating upstairs that it's strong enough. Floors up there.
Yeah, because we rebuilt all the floors up there. We put tongue and groove plywood besides what was there. So because the joists are between the two floors was wonderful. They're 2 feet apart, but they were big. They were fat lumber, not skinny lumber now, strong lumber. They just didn't hang them on much. So we had to redo everything so they, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, some of the, besides Don Corwin, what other carpenters who helped you must have been really expert carpenters.
Yes, then our main carpenter was Michael Yee, who does fantastic work. There's nobody that does better work. And Charles Dolan also did a lot of the framework upstairs. And the floorings, put all the floorings in. But then Michael Yee came on board, and he's the one that has put in all of the cabinet work and all of the wainscoting and the flooring mm-hmm. upstairs. And there's nobody that does better work than he does, as you can tell.
And is he the one?
We did all the work to prepare it for him.
Okay.
So he doesn't, you know, when he goes to do it, he's got all these boards ready for him.
Right.
But he has the knowledge to make it look
right. And now, wonderful. Is he the one who was out front working?
That was one of his helpers.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, historic, is the paint color on the outside of the building. How did you know what color?
Well, we didn't. They had. They did not have these colors.
Okay.
Okay. So you had that choice. There was a couple pictures we saw. At different times, one was kind of a creamy golden yellow or something was one that we found, you know, when we were stripping off different layers of paint on the wood. But there's so many buildings that had that, and we wanted something that would be unique. So we selected colors that were used historically. Which, again, is, you know, something, do not destroy a building by, you know, using fluorescent pink on your building. And passed that by my architect and so forth.
It got approved. The permission's
got approved. Yes, and then it got approved, yes. And then people have loved it, the three colors, because they look awesome together. Yeah. And it's striking, you know, it catches people's eyes.
I think it's great how you did the one kind of wood in one color and then the other in a different color to distinguish.
Kind of distinguish them, yes.
It's very cool.
And then if you go up those attic steps, which are very, very tiny, and at one time they had somebody in the southeast quadrant, that one that was added on, because it doesn't have the slanted
roof.
Ceilings like the other rooms, it came straight up. So they had somebody living up there, as far as sleeping up there at one time.
Up in the attic?
Yes, but nobody could do that now because we filled it with insulation, the flooring and that, and had the sprinkler pipes and everything. But one thing we did find when we went up there, when I was going from the kind of a little bit of like finished room into this one where you just would walk along the joists. Just as you went in the kind of the doorway, pasted on the wall was some 1898 music.
Cool.
That I've got saved, yeah.
That's yeah. cool. Yeah, that's the fun part of the yeah, building.
Yeah, didn't find a whole lot of that, but there's a, yeah.
Well, and you said that the you knew that it had been a bank because you'd seen the...
Yes, when we tore out this one division and the flooring, got down to the flooring, you could see that there was the three teller windows where they would have been.
You could see it on the floor.
Yeah, yeah, you could see it on the print, because yeah. we knew that there was a bank.
Oh, you then didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so then you said, yeah, here it was. Yeah.
Well, then you also, so you had to tear out internal walls.
Yeah, some of the walls that were here were just, again, built with like 1x12s, but the people who put in the restaurant just took like a chainsaw and cut arches in it, so they ruined all those boards. There was nothing strong about it right. or anything, so they... Yeah, some of those had to come out, or else, like the one between that quadrant and this quadrant, we had to rebuild.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned somebody who had grown up here who walked through the building?
Yes, yes, someone that their family had owned it for years, and so she'd come and visit us, but as she had gotten older, you know, she... was kind of losing some of her
memories.
Yeah, memories. But there were some memories that were there. Whenever she'd go to say goodbye and she'd go to leave, she'd pass the door that we go in and out and try to walk into the wall. It was kind of like confused, and we'd kind of just guide her to the door. But when we redid that whole outside wall, we found the framing for a door there.
That had been covered over.
That had been covered over and was in the wall. So she knew exactly, because she kept saying, well, yeah, because, you know, once somebody lost their keys in the garage, like, and by this door, and I found them. So she knew there was a door there. That was just so interesting.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And any ghosts?
There was someone that said they lived in here and they swore there was a ghost because this rocking chair would rock itself at times. But not that we know.
You've never experienced.
But we did have lots and lots of people in town have lived in this building at one time or another.
Yeah.
So that made it kind of special.
Yeah, you said B. Lingle lived in four
different
places.
Yeah, she said four different places in this building. Yeah. And then her one son said, yeah, she used to go up with her friend in the cricket up those, and out on the cricket, there's a cricket between this floor and this. There's a flat area.
Oh.
I couldn't.
In between the quadrants?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So.
And you can get out onto it?
Yeah, yeah. They used to sunbathe up there. And you can see the ships and everything. Yeah. We had to rebuild that all, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How fun.
Yeah.
So the Park Service helping you with those grants,
yes.
That was all because you were on the commission and you knew?
No. They would do that for anybody they would help anybody that, if it was a historic building, thought it should be saved.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe, I'm not sure how we hooked up together. It might have been through Carl Gerke.
Well, that's
not
what I was
sure.
wondering, is how did you know about those grants?
I think they might have gotten a hold of me, too.
Okay.
I just, because my partner wanted to demolish the building and just sell the land.
Right.
And I wanted to save it, so I might have talked to... Carl Gerke, and
right.
he said, let me get you in touch with, you know.
And so they helped you write the grants?
Yes, they certainly did. They helped, so because they would end up, they're quite stringent, so you'd end up with 30, 40 pages,
yeah.
you know. You had to do quarterly reports.
Well, and also...
And you had to take care of all the money. And it was like a 50-50 grant.
Okay.
It basically turns out to be 60-40, but
right.
still... But you have to have time cards for all your help or whatever, you know, and you don't really pay yourself, but you know, but then cost of everything, and then pictures of all of it, and befores and afters. And I couldn't have done it without the help from them.
Right. So did the Park Service get the money and you...
No, then they...
Did they give you the lump sum and you...
No, you get it afterwards.
Oh, okay.
I mean, after you turn it all in,
okay.
I think, or you might have gotten some along the way.
So you had to do paperwork along the way.
Yes, there's quarterly reports for, because I think they might have been a year grant.
So what did the grant pay for? Paying your helpers?
Yeah, they would, yes, and materials and helpers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
so, that would be it.
And then they...
Because Grant worked, you know, free.
Yeah, he got paid by the Park Service.
Yeah, and we just worked on our own because it was our building, so that you could hire people like Don Corwin.
Right.
That would go, so we were splitting his, you know,
right.
Like at the end, you know, then they would pay, like I said, this percentage and you'd pay this percentage.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but part of it is just the... you know, it's helpful, yes, that they're paying, you know, 40-50%, but the biggest help is the knowledge that they give you, so you learn a lot.
Yeah, well, you had to have learned a lot. It's a very impressive project.
Thank you.
See why it took 17 years.
Years, but it's starting to look pretty nice.
Yeah, and I can't imagine how much money you guys have had to sink into this building.
Yeah,
but
here's the thing. So we worked under the grants, but I'm very frugal at saving things and so forth, and it took 17 years. We could have done it in 5 years using a different alternative. Not saving, just saving what she wanted to make a few things that look, you know, here's a historic corner. You can see what used to be in here. Not saving every single piece, not doing all the work ourselves, hiring someone else to do it. We went the slow, long route because we did not want to have a big bill. So we don't owe it on this building.
And your rentals are helping cover that.
Yeah, well, that covers our workmen now,
you know,
because we only started renting about 4 or 5 years ago, the one apartment.
And you and Howard have been retired from other work during this whole time?
No, because we had a gas, we were running a gas station over here.
Uh-huh.
And then Howard had the propane business for years, and I did bookkeeping. So we were working...
That makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, we were working full time then, and then he and his Howard and his friend built an apartment house, and so we were, when I met him, that was built. So we were running the apartment house.
Right.
I was the one that was did all the books for it, and rented out the apartments and cleaned the apartments and changed them over. So
you had some experience.
Books. Yes. Yeah. Should have known better then. And he had the propane business for years and years. But then he had to have a heart valve replacement, and so then ended up selling it.
Uh-huh.
So we keep saying we need to retire because we're in our 70s. And
well, as it seems like this building, say, a labor of love. It's more than
just a
building.
Yeah, oh yes, it is. Yes, that it is.
And any regrets?
No, I mean, you know, we look around and we just dearly love it. The thing I guess I would have to say that I regret is that I'm the age I am. I wished I would have done it, could have done it, had the opportunity to do it 30 years earlier.
Right.
So I could have had a lot longer time to enjoy it.
Yeah. It does seem like it's something you're proud of.
Yes, definitely. We both are. And it's fun because people come in and they love it.
Yeah.
You know, people go home. Oh, excuse me. People come in and they'll go, oh, I'm going to go home and do that.
Yeah. Well, the apartments are beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I think they'd be popular rentals because they are lovely.
Yes. Well, they're not the cheapest rentals, though, you know, because there's a lot of money in them.
Right. You have to cover your costs.
Yes. And then just the taxes on it. Because you sit in the historic district.
Oh, the taxes are higher in the historic district?
Oh, yeah. Oh. You know, commercial.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. Well, also, the location is so good if you're a summer worker here.
Yes, it is. That part's nice because they can walk to almost anything.
Right. And then that makes the rent a little bit, up a little bit because it's an attractive
Yes, because location. You're close to things.
Yeah.
But like I said, the hard part about renting here is, you know, you've got high insurance, you've got high construction because you have to follow all the code and the upkeep. And like the sprinklers, they have to be
inspected
every single year and newer things done, you know, and just the upkeep on the building. And we haven't even finished in that, but the hardest part about renting in this town is that everybody wants to rent in the summer, but in the winter, three quarters of the people are gone.
Right.
So then there's lots of places to rent in the winter for very little money. So that's difficult to keep there's certainly a lot of other things we could do that we'd make more money at.
Right. So it's not always...
And easier, you know, because a lot of jobs, when you leave the job, you're done. Right. This one, you aren't.
Well, it's clearly not always about money.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, we both, Howard loved to build and me too, like to refinish. I like the design stuff. I like to...
Yeah.
So we were both doing things that we loved to do, but the time got away from us. It would have been easier if we would have done that. He had five children, I had five children when we met each other. So.
Well, and it sounds like the Park Service was very helpful.
Yes, they certainly would. We could not have done it without the Park Service getting us started and helping. Yeah. We probably would have demolished it and sold them. Like Howard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the crazy part. But I'd raised five children, put them all through college, all five of them as a single parent. Whew. And I think one, two, three of them have masters. All five have BAs. And then I said, okay, now I need to just go do something myself.
Yeah.
And so I was looking for another.
What kind of work did you do as a single mom to put five kids through college?
Well, I'm very frugal, like I said.
Right.
And I probably raised five children on less money than you could raise one person.
Right.
Or yourself. So... I did books and did books at night and that, and I worked, we delivered newspapers at the time, and I was one of the distributors of the newspapers.
Yeah.
So we worked nights on 7 days a week, and Sunday mornings, and rural routes. And
sounds like you were raised with knowing hard work.
Yes, yes. Yep, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, sometimes I don't know how to relax unless I'm working work, is enjoyment. So.
Well, that's good. Well, I appreciate you taking a break from working.
Oh, yeah. Well, no kidding. I'm trying to slow down. So that's just wonderful. I hope that you've got some usefulness out of this.
It's been great to hear the story. It's been
good
to see it. I don't know if you think we got all of it from what we did outside.
I think so.
I'm
trying to think of, because we talked about redoing the wood and so forth.
And the windows and the designs around the windows.
Yes, because a lot of the history, if you don't find it in pictures, you're going to find it when you open a wall. Or you take three layers of of material off of something. Mm-hmm. So like we might be doing the ceiling and we took three layers of wallpaper off. And then you say, oh, look, here's the wainscoting. We're down to that. But look, there's a line here. There was a wall here at one time. Or you, when we got upstairs and we opened a wall between these two rooms, there was newspaper stuffed in it. And some of it was like from 1950. Hmm. So you know that something was done and that was put in there mm-hmm. in 1950. So you find a lot of clues that way, you know, if you take your time.
Right. And wasn't it on one of the front windows, some of the decoration was covered up by the tiles, the asphalt?
Yes, yes, they were. And so when you took that off and got down to the siding boards that you're actually going to hope that you can use, then you would see the shadow. Mm-hmm. Of that exact design of the window trim.
So that trim was gone, but you could still
the
see
the trim was gone, shadow. But we could trace that cool. off of there, which was kind of exciting because you'd say, look, we can't throw this board out. We got to save this. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely sounds like a fun, that you've had fun with it, even though it's been
yes,
hard work.
And then we'd take pictures of that, you know, and have it. So. You know, like I said, I wish I had 30 more years than that because I've got all the wallpaper that I could catalog. Mm-hmm. I got all the pictures too, out there in the hallway that you saw. Right. I've got three window frames about 3 feet by maybe, you know, 2.5 feet that have six panes or nine panes uh-huh. that are each different. And I want to put historic pictures in those and hang them on the nice. Wall in that hallway.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yes.
I think it sounds like a project or an intern from the Park Service.
That would be wonderful.
To help you.
Oh, I would love that. That would be great. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Well, thank you, Virginia. I really uh-huh. appreciate it.
It's certainly. We love fun. Talking about our building.
Well, good. It's great to have it documented.
Yes, yes.
All right.
So we appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.